This is Maurice Jones-Drew, and you're listening to the What's Brewing Show.
And welcome to What's Brewing, a show about anything and everything brewing sports. I am your host, Mike Regalado, and today it is just me because I will be conducting a very, very special interview. Before I get into that, I just want to give you some, go over some business. You can reach us at What's Brewing Show on Twitter, on Instagram, on Facebook. We are at facebook.com/What's Brewing. You can also reach me on the Twitters at Mike Regalado LA. I almost forgot because I recently just changed it, trying to be slightly more professional. And everywhere else, if you want to check out my nonsense, let's say on the Instagrams, you can check out at The Big Disco. That one is still applicable. But yes, today, Jake, Jamal, and Bill are not here, and it is just me, and I'm going to be talking to former UCLA basketball player Gerald Smith. So without further ado, let's talk to Mr. Smith. And joining me on the What's Brewing Hotline, former UCLA basketball player Gerald Smith. Gerald has, you know, he was a former walk-on at UCLA, played for three seasons between 2015 and 2017. And now, you know, you're a basketball player turned businessman and podcaster. Gerald, thank you for joining us here on the What's Brewing Show.
No problem, man. Thank you for having me. I'm excited to get on and talk.
Yes, thank you. And we were able to get in touch because of a common contact between the both of us, Mr. Cam Rogers, who is part of the Believe Network. And he actually reached out to me. He's actually reached out before. We actually were able to interview Corey Paz, former UCLA football quarterback. And now you are on the Believe Network. So let's start off with that. What is going on with you in the podcasting world, and how did this all start? It's called the Believe in Basketball Adjacent podcast. Tell us a little bit about it.
Yeah, so like you said, it's called the Believe in Basketball Adjacent podcast. Just got up and running about a week ago, posted my first episode featuring a good friend of mine named Josiah Johnson, who is also a UCLA basketball alum and is now kind of a jack of all trades in the TV and multimedia digital media space. But it started off as the Believe Podcast Network reached out to me, and they wanted me to host a show kind of about UCLA basketball. And I was in a weird transitionary period in my life work-wise to where, like, I didn't really have all the proper time to do the show justice. And then when it came time that I did, they reached back out to me, and I was like, hey, you know, I really think that the concept of doing a show called Basketball Adjacent around, like, you know, not just about playing basketball, but all the cool careers, ideas, styles, and culture that come along with basketball are kind of adjacent to basketball, which kind of gave my show a bit of ambiguity, too, because I could bring on, you know, guests that are in all different walks of life, like Josiah, who no longer plays basketball, but, you know, is basketball adjacent, as a lot of his content is sports-focused and stuff like that. And so that's kind of how the show was born. And then, you know, we're about a week in, and it's exciting, man.
Brilliant. So before we go on, where can people listen to your podcast?
Yeah, so people can find my podcast on all audio streaming networks. Our landing page is obviously on BLEAV.com. Just search for the Basketball Adjacent Podcast. All updates, weekly, bi-weekly, can be found on my Instagram handle. My Instagram and Twitter handles at Gerald H. Timms. It's JerroldHTims. Any new information, I'll post it up there and you guys can find it and check it out.
Well, definitely. And, you know, like I said, we've talked to several former Bruins. I believe we also talked to, we did talk to David Ware, I believe it was, who also has a podcast on the Believe Network. So you guys are just really doing a lot of good work over there. You know, as you said, it's not just about sports, but, you know, everything surrounding sports. You talked about Josiah Johnson, who you said, you know, it's multi-talented gentleman, former basketball player, producer, you know, created that TV show I'm blanking right now.
Legends of Chamberlain Heights.
Thank you very much. I was thinking Chamberlain Heights, but I was like, well, how did what was the first part of that? So you're already
one of the greatest cartoons ever on Comedy Central.
It's pretty hilarious, and you know they got to bring that sucker back. But yeah, let's talk about. We'll get more into your podcast, but let's talk about. You know, we're obviously going to talk about UCLA basketball, but let's first start off with your journey as a UCLA basketball player. How did it start? Because you were a walk on, and you know, what is that process like of being a walk on and actually, you know, finally making the team and being able to put on those that jersey with the four letters on the front.
Yeah, so I think the walk-on journey is a bit tricky because it's different for a lot of people. There's folks that come in as kind of like preferred walk-ons to fill roster spots that aren't on scholarship. There's folks that fill roster spots just by trying out for the team, which is kind of similar to what I did when I walked onto the team. And so my process was, coming out of high school, I was about like a three-star, four-star recruit. I had a couple of opportunities to play at a couple of smaller schools, LMU, Oberlin College, UC Santa Barbara. But for me, it was always about focusing on education. And being from Los Angeles, growing up in Los Angeles, I didn't want to leave L.A. UCLA was the best academic institution that I got into in L.A. And for me, it was a no-brainer. Just, you know, it was tough for me to hang up my sneakers at first and to just come into UCLA as a student. But I did, and I ended up working on the women's scout team, which for those of you who don't know, is a group of guys who practice against the NCAA women's teams for each respective university, and kind of run plays, act as the opposing team weeks before games. And I was fortunate enough to play on this women's scout team because of who was then the video coordinator for UCLA women's basketball. His name is Wendell Farrow. He's now a assistant coach for the women's basketball team at Cal Berkeley. Shout out to him. But he brought me on, and, you know, I was able to be exposed to what was a very high-level Division I basketball program in the UCLA women's program. But for me, you know, just for the love that I had of basketball, you know, obviously practicing and helping with the women's team was great. But I wanted nothing more than to be a men's basketball player because I didn't want my career to end, you know, just with everything I had done in high school. And I told Wendell, I was like, yo, like, I really appreciate this opportunity. I'm going to give you my all throughout this season. But, you know, at the end of the season, I really need you to help me walk on to the men's basketball team. And it kind of just worked out to where I was really persistent with Wendell. I was, you know, taking the practices that I was involved in with the women's basketball team super serious, as anybody should. And the women's basketball coaches kind of noticed that, and the men's basketball coaches kind of started to take notice. And it came time to where, like, one fateful day where I think the men's team were, like, riddled with injuries and had a couple of players out. They literally just needed some people to suit up during practice and help run the opposing team's plays. And, you know, as they were searching around campus, one of my biggest advocates, Coach Corey Close of the women's team, and, you know, Wendell, were like, hey, we have this kid on our scout team. He understands, you know, what the role is that you're looking for, what all it takes to be a walk-on, what you're asking of him, and he can literally do what you're asking him to do. And it kind of just worked out. I was fortunate enough that they had a spot to fill, and I was able to fill it.
Yeah, so you that's interesting. That's an interesting journey to the men's basketball team, going through the women's basketball team. And actually, we've actually had Coach Close on this podcast before. So that's an awesome, that's a, you know, nice circuitous way to come back towards women's basketball. But you did make the basketball team, and decorated history, and you were on one of the teams most recently that was it's probably one of the best UCLA teams in the last 20 years. You know, I mean, obviously that says something going against, you know, Coach Ben Howland's Final Four teams. But what was it like to be on a team with Lonzo Ball, TJ Leaf, you know, Thomas Welsh, you know, all those guys? You guys went, I believe it was 31-5. You know, what was that season like?
Yeah, so that season was literally one of the wildest rides of my life. A lot of people ask me, like, what are some of the most unique experiences that you've had the chance to be a part of in your life? And I always go to that 2016-2017 season The atmosphere that Lonzo and Tom, TJ and Aaron and Isaac and Bryce brought to Poly every single game, and, you know, when we're on the road, and especially when we got to the NCAA tournament, like, there's literally no experience, no feeling like what I felt during that season. It was so amazing to have been a part of that, for one, because I gained not just so many friends, but brothers and my teammates like Lonzo and TJ and Aaron and those guys that went on to play professionally. But, you know, just being having a chance, a lot of people don't realize that whether you're playing or not, having the chance to be a part of, like, a locker room, you know, with guys like that, and see the development that goes on behind the scenes, and why they turn out to be such the great players that they are, and the amount of work that they put in 24/7. And to be a part of that, you know, to be a part of the iron that sharpens iron, was literally one of the greatest experiences of my life. Like, I literally can't even put it into words how grateful I am to UCLA and to the basketball program, to Coach Alford and to my teammates for the experiences that they awarded me.
This year, I was able to watch UCLA at Arizona, and that was a huge game in which the Bruins, you know, they go into a rival's home and just completely dominate them. Arizona shot 25%. You were actually in a similar situation, albeit, you know, more involved with the team. What was it like going into Kentucky and, you know, just putting on a show and taking down the number one team for the second year in a row on their home court?
Oh, man. That was literally insane. And I'm so grateful that it was immortalized. My senior year, thankfully, there was a reporter who wrote a Sports Illustrated article on me and my kind of unorthodox journey to making the men's team. And that was one of the quotes that I mentioned to her. Her name was Lindsay Schnell. And I can send you the link to this article if you need me to. But she wrote, and I was talking to her. She was like, what was the most exciting part of the season thus far? And I was like, you know what? We went into Kentucky. They're the number one ranked team. We put on an absolute show. Shout out to the guys. But there was no better experience than in the locker room after that game. We're all just excited and yelling, and Coach Alford comes in after doing a post-game interview. And I'm sitting in the chair in the locker room closest to the door, and he just runs up to me, and we're just yelling in each other's faces, just out of excitement, like, do you know what we just did? And everybody's on 10, their energy's high. And I will say that was such an experience, man, to go into an atmosphere like that. Like, that arena, Rupp Arena, is probably the most like an NBA arena that I've ever played in college. Just by, like, the atmosphere, like, it's so loud. Their fans are so intense, obviously, because there's not much to focus on in Kentucky besides basketball. But that was just an amazing experience. no disrespect to Kentucky,
no,
but I don't know what basketball and horse racing, I'll say, because they have the Kentucky Derby. But that was literally like such an amazing experience. Like, it's another thing that I can't put into words, aside from describing that encounter with Coach Alford after the game, like the excitement, the adrenaline that comes from, you know, just playing on that big stage and knowing that you capitalize on such a big moment is literally insane.
Well, let's transition a little bit. And, you know, you talked about Coach Alford, and unfortunately he couldn't sustain that success and was relieved the next season, I believe. Two seasons after that. And after that season, after the 2018-19 season, UCLA went out and hired Mick Cronin. Before we get into what UCLA has done this past year, your thoughts on it, especially from an actual, you know, UCLA basketball player that's been in, you know, the famed blue and gold uniform. What were your thoughts on the hiring process and UCLA finally coming to a decision on Cronin?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't follow the hiring process as closely as I know a lot of other former players did. But we had, I think that same 2016-2017 year, we faced Coach Cronin, who was then at Cincinnati in the NCAA tournament. And I have had nothing but respect for Coach Cronin, just, you know, based off seeing what he was able to do with the Cincinnati program and a lot of the different players that he was able to develop under that program. And then for him to come over to UCLA and instill some of the same values within the UCLA players that he had there at that time and kind of turn around the program in the way that he did within the past year, I commend him. You know, I have nothing but respect for him. I had a chance to meet him maybe once or twice the summer before his first year. He's a great guy. Like there's nothing more that I can say. He's a hard-nosed coach. I can tell that all the guys respect him just by the way, they pull up their bootstraps and get to work every now and then. I have nothing but great things to say about him.
So Cronin comes in and basically has to re-recruit the entire squad, make sure nobody transfers. And, obviously there were three players that went to the NBA, but everyone else, stayed. And, nobody transferred. And they also brought in Jaime Jaquez and Jake Kyman. And it was, it was a bit rough. I don't know how closely you followed it, but, I think, at least to a certain extent, UCLA basketball fans and former players still follow the team, but it was pretty rough. And then about mid-season, beginning of the Pac-12 play, things started to change. What did you see from the team, from what you can see from your basketball knowledge? What did you see from the team? Obviously, their record wasn't great, but did you see were you able to see the foundation that was that Cronin was trying to put in place at that point?
Yeah, I think he just really got the guys to buy into the system that he was preaching, and as a coach, I feel like I don't have much experience coaching, but as a coach, I'm pretty sure that's all you can ask for is, if you're gonna give players the tools to kind of, succeed, you hope for the best that they take those tools and build something great. And I think, it took them a minute just because, the preseason coaching change, they probably had spent a good amount of time practicing with Coach Cronin, but, you're still getting used to somebody, still filling out the system. Still filling out each other, your players within the system, and figuring out where all your pieces kind of fall together. But I feel like that switch kind of just happened when everybody just bought into the system. I was like, okay, we're just gonna, kind of go to work. We're gonna play hard nosed basketball, hard nosed defense, and rely on certain guys in certain situations because we know that that's where their strong suits will help us the most.
Was there a certain point or a certain game where you just looked at what was going on the court and you thought to yourself, okay, hang on, there's something special here?
I can't say that there was a certain game, mainly because I'm not too sure how many I caught this past season just because I've had a crazy work schedule. But I did have a chance to go to maybe two or three on the back end of the Pac-12 schedule. And I could just tell, Coach Cronin, he had his rotation going. He knew what guys to put in at what times, what guys to put in on what players, what guys to have the ball in their hands at certain points in time in the game, what guys to not have the ball in their hands. But it just seemed like they had all kind of, found a rhythm working together to where, they understood each other out on the court. They knew who to look for certain things and who to look for to make certain things happen. And I think that just kind of helped things click for them.
Was there... obviously, at Bruin Report Online, we've been monitoring, analyzing the statistics of the team. And just from the numbers, we just see that everything just started to trend upwards towards the end of the season. And a lot of what we've analyzed is that individually, the players were progressing. And it seemed like the majority of the team were progressing at the same time. In your opinion, who was one or two or, any of the players that really, stood out to you, what they were doing on the court? Like you said, the team, something just clicked with the team, but did you...
Yeah, so I'm a big believer, first of all, in the idea that, the best way to get better in basketball is to play more basketball. And I feel that as the season kind of progressed, there's no better way for the guys to get better, for the team to get better, than to play more basketball. They played more games. They worked more on their craft. They had more practices. They're getting used to their bodies, to their skill sets, to their coaches. So that's a big factor in the progression that some of the guys made throughout the season. But somebody that really impressed me was Chris Smith. Obviously he got to UCLA well after I had graduated, but we've become kind of close, whether it be through social media or me just going to games. And I really saw from him kind of the progression from, okay, a year ago or a year or so ago, he was kind of taking a back seat to Chris Wilkes and Jalen Hands, who had the ball in their hands a good amount for UCLA. And he kind of became that go-to guy for UCLA this past season, to where it's like, if they needed a bucket, the ball is in his hands. If somebody needed to be stopped, he was the one guarding them. You know, late game situations, if it wasn't, you know, Chris Smith, then maybe it was Jaime Jaquez or Jake Kyman hitting big shots, as we saw throughout the season. But I was really, really impressed with Chris Smith's development throughout the season, just kind of like as he kind of got used to his game and stepped into a really necessary role as team leader that UCLA needs him to step into. And it's not just the Smith last name, I promise. I love his last name, but it's not just the Smith last name. And then Tiger Campbell really impressed me a lot, just, you know, being able to come off of the knee injury that he had sustained the season before and play a really big ball-handling role for the Bruins this past year after losing Jalen Hands to the draft. That's always tough coming back from injury first and foremost, but like 95 to 90% of the ball handling, the playmaking, kind of fell on him this past season. He had David Singleton to help him out a bit, but I feel like David's more of a natural scorer than he is a ball handler, playmaker. So I really want to commend Tiger for that too.
You know, the Bruins finished the season winning 11 out of 14, and I believe they were 8-9 before that. So they just had an excellent end to the season, and unfortunately, it ended prematurely. UCLA was a three-pointer away from a championship in Mick Cronin's first year. Unfortunately, USC hit a three with a few seconds left, and those dashed those hopes. But at the end of the game, I remember and it was something that we didn't see at the beginning of the season. There was a little bit of anger in the players. There was anger in the coach, and not at each other, just at the fact that they were that close. But there was also a little bit of pride, just because they had, they basically, nearly performed a miracle. let's say that.
Yeah.
The fact that they almost, from going, they were pretty much tied for last place. There were, I think, three games in, three teams were tied for 10th place in the Pac-12, and UCLA was one of them. To come back and almost win the championship, obviously it's difficult to win a conference championship, but to do it in season like that, it's fantastic. And unfortunately, the postseason was cut short because of COVID-19. Being able to see this team progress, I definitely wanted to see what they were going to do in the postseason. In your opinion, having played, participated in the NCAA tournament, just how much did this hurt, just for you from a former alumni basketball player, how much did it hurt to not be able to see the Bruins in postseason play?
Yeah, I mean, for one, like I mentioned earlier, the NCAA tournament was literally one of the most unique experiences that I've ever had the opportunity to experience in my life. I really feel, especially for the seniors, who it was kind of like their last hurrah, or last chance at an NCAA title, whether or not the Bruins would have made that run or not. But, you know, to have that taken away from you your senior year, I really felt for them, and not just UCLA, but, you know, programs all over the world, guys that were expecting to do some really special stuff throughout the NCAA tournament. To not see the Bruins have a chance to play, it really sucked, especially because of the momentum that they had building, regardless of that last loss at USC. Like you said, they were on, I think before that, maybe like a 9 or 10 game win streak going into that game at USC. And to have that kind of momentum stripped away from them, I think that's really tough because, as you said, we're in the process of turning their season around. Whether or not they ended up winning the Pac-12 championship, they still had a decent shot at either, you know, getting seeded in the tournament or getting a play in at the tournament or doing some really good stuff in the Pac-12 tournament, which I don't doubt that they could have done how they were playing basketball at the end of the season. And it's just tough, man, when you have momentum kind of working for you like that, and then, you know, you just hit a brick wall. And it's not one that's, you know, of your own creation. It's kind of one that you can't control, something that you can't, I would say maybe like a steel wall, like something that can't really be broken down too easily in COVID-19. That really sucked, and I really felt for them for that.
Yeah, and, you know, as you said, it didn't just hit the Bruins and the Bruins seniors like Prince Ali or Alex Olashinsky, but everyone across the country, even women's basketball, you know, Coach Close, they were on a good run towards the end of the season, and they've been building a solid program. We weren't able to see Japrice Dean play. Sabrina Ionescu and that women's basketball program up in Oregon, they were on fire.
Sabrina, she's one of the best basketball players that I've seen in quite some time.
Yeah, yeah, and it's unfortunate, and it's great that her and her two of her teammates were picked in the top five of the WNBA draft, which is great because obviously they get to continue their career in the pros. But it just hurts because there were so many good teams that were coming up at that time, and then you just have COVID come and just crash the party, and everything's canceled. But it looks like, you know, if everything, stays positive with the coronavirus, you know, UCLA, the NCAA, Pac-12, they're putting out, UCLA fall sports. They just got back to school today, Monday, June 22nd, but they are doing it in four phases. And they're also doing that, with, other sports, basketball, I believe will be brought back in phase three of this, so that they can start, workouts and conditioning. You know, it's crazy, you know, for a former athlete, obviously, you know, you were lucky enough not to go through this during your time at UCLA, but how do you feel for these players who are just like, what do we do now? it's just a waiting game. What do we do now?
Yeah, I think it's really tricky because guys rely a lot, or at least I know that I did outside of academics, right? Rely a lot on, you know, athletics for a lot of things, whether it be, you know, camaraderie and friendship and being around your teammates 24/7 and having people to talk to about basketball, or whether that just be, you know, stuff within life and problems that you're going through or whatever. Cause I relied on my teammates a lot when I was in college for just kind of, you know, kinship, you know, we hung out all the time. We went to eat, we went to parties and stuff like that. So it's not just, you know, being a teammate, being a basketball player is a lot more than just playing basketball. But then at the same time, like, I think it's a really weird transition period, you know. My younger sister actually was a senior at UCLA this past year, and we had to do her graduation virtually, which is one of the weirdest experiences that I've ever gone through in my life dealing with UCLA, because, you know, she wasn't an athlete, but, you know, students like her that were athletes were deprived of, you know, a graduation and, you know, being celebrated, you know, campus-wide by everyone at UCLA. And then at the same time, you know, like you said, it's kind of like this weird waiting period where it's like you're so used to playing basketball 24/7, having the facilities, the gyms, Pauly available to you, you know, just being able to work on your craft whenever you want to and with whoever you want to up at UCLA. It's tough. It's tough because you're kind of put in like this weird little lull of where like you might not be working on your game, which you could be spending that time doing. Or especially for the UCLA players, you know, they take advantage of the summer runs that Rico Hines puts on in the men's gym. And so that, you know, that's obviously been impacted, you know, not being able to learn from a lot of the professionals that he brings in during the summer to kind of work and develop young guys. And so that's tough. It's really tough.
Yeah. And, you know, it's nuts, but hopefully things are okay and we can have the 2020-21 season. So let's finish off with that. You know, let's say everything goes as planned and we have a season. What can you see this UCLA basketball team doing next season?
I see them coming back really hungry, just based upon how things kind of left off at the end of last season. I wouldn't imagine that Coach Cronin is going to let that momentum kind of just die because of COVID. I'm really optimistic for the UCLA season, especially, you know, now Coach Cronin has a couple of his own recruits coming into UCLA to add with the guys that he already has returning, and I think it'll be really fun to watch and see how his first like true season as UCLA head coach goes. You know, as far as, you know, guys obviously bought into his system late last season. But, you know, having a fresh start, a fresh season where he can really, you know, preach to the guys and have them play like he wants them to play or how they were playing towards the end of last season. And I know they have a couple of good recruits coming in. I think they may have lost one to that G League program that the NBA is kind of building out, but they have a couple of good recruits coming in this year too to be excited about. So I'm really excited to see what they do this season in the Pac-12. Pac-12 season should be really fun. Not just UCLA, but a lot of other Pac-12 teams have good recruits coming in too. So the competition is going to be high. So UCLA is not going to have, you know, any choice but to put their best foot forward. You know.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Gerald Smith joining us on the What's Brewing Show. Thank you so much for coming on and talking about UCLA basketball. Before you go, once again, as I said at the top of the show, go ahead and give us your information again, where people can find you on social media, as well as your new podcast on the Believe Network.
Yeah, Mike, thank you. First of all, thank you so much for having me. It was a pleasure talking to you. To all of the UCLA Bruin fans out there that are listening, it's a great podcast that you guys are tuning into. You can find my new podcast, the Basketball Adjacent Podcast, on the Believe Network on any and all audio streaming platforms, whether that be Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, whatever it is, and our landing page on the Believe Network, BLEAV.com. For updates, check in with my socials at Gerald H. Timms, at JerOldHTIMS. For updates on all episodes, all guests, anything you might need, or if you just want to check in with me, I'm there.
And basically, your social media handle is basically Gerald Smith, but with the Smith spelled backwards.
Yep, basically Gerald Smith, but with the Smith spelled backwards, just because I feel like sometimes Smith can get a little regular, so I put my own spin on it.
Well, thank you very much, and go Bruins, and thank you for joining us.
Yes, sir. Go Bruins. Thanks for having me.